Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 287. Who will fight for you? Trusting true love.
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
Well, hello there, wherever you're in the world. It's good to be back with you. And yes, I'm in a fighting spirit, inspired by all the different planets, including the sun, that are presently in Aries. Aries being the warrior, the fighter, the hero, the adventurer. And this energy is going to get even stronger as we move towards this total solar eclipse on the 8th of April. But already we have very strong energies in the air. And before I move into the depth of this podcast, which is about us trusting love and letting people in, let me just outline what's also going on in the sky. So on the 2nd of April, Mercury turns retrograde in Aries, and it will be there until the 25th of April. Now, I would suggest, because Aries has a tendency to be impatient and restless and do things quickly, this might be a time when you want to slow things down. Consider any contracts you're going to sign. Just wait maybe till the end of April, when Mercury will move forward again. And then Venus is going to meet Neptune. And Neptune is in Pisces, so that's where Venus is. And this is going to make us all very excited. And we're going to say, wow, this is a time to bring my dreams into reality. But remember that sometimes those dreams need to be grounded in our reality before we start them. So once again, before rushing into something, I suggest you kind of talk it out or write it down or consider a few steps to take before you disappear into the ethers of your dreams. Because very soon, Venus will also be in Aries. So there will be a lot of fiery energy coming up again, always at the beginning of this April. And very soon after that, we have Mars and Saturn coming together in Pisces. Whoopee! Well, Saturn is about being holding herself back. We've talked about this a little bit. So really checking in with our psychic abilities. What is true? What am I really intuiting? Is this true to my heart? And Mars is about, yeah, let's go do it. So it's really about balancing that energy, checking in. Maybe you can hear me saying that a lot. So asking that three-time rule, should I do this? And if I'm not meant to do it, make it really clear now. So if it appears three times, do it. But if something happens when you ask that question that stops you, don't do it. That would be my greatest advice. Now, beyond this, and I've talked a little bit about this solar eclipse, and I'll talk a little bit more next time. The sun is very active at this time. And the activity of that sun wouldn't have been bothering us if we had a stronger magnetic field around the Earth. But because that magnetic field continues to weaken, anything that goes on in the sun is increasingly affecting us. Now, in the past, I've talked about we're seeing auroras, these wonderful, what we call northern or southern lights in the sky, and they're coming closer and closer towards the equator, which we would have never seen before. That's part of this. We're seeing lightning strikes, many more lightning strikes. But we're also seeing problems, very sudden problems with electronics, communication. And I think we're going to see more of that. And some suggest that that might be what's happening over this week, this weekend, where suddenly something doesn't work and then it comes back on again or it stops working. So if your computer isn't working as well as you'd like, or you see lights flashing on and off, it might be your wonderful electrical energy, but it can also be that you're being affected by this solar energy that is being really pushed on by what's coming from the galaxy and beyond. So I think we're going to see a heightening of electronic communication issues, maybe electrical issues in your home. You may feel it in your body. You may find difficulty sleeping or feel you need to sleep all the time. You might find your body tingling. You may feel your heart racing and hopefully no arrhythmias, but you could have that. So really, as you know, I'm going to say, find ways to calm down, stay with nature, get your feet on the ground, take yourself out of your head, lay in a bath, anything you can to really nest into Mother Earth in the best way possible. And again, I'll talk more about what's going on in the sky, but this is a very intense time, really the whole of April. And we've also got this conjunction between Jupiter and Uranus, Uranus being sudden activities. So around somewhere that people are now saying between the 16th and 26th, which is a big area, but that's how these conjunctions work. It's not just one day. Certainly 10 days, 7 days before the 20th, we could see issues, sudden issues happening with banking, food supply, travel in some ways, weather, anything that has to do with nature and that which comes from the ground. That's what I'm suggesting. So we could see real experiences coming through. It doesn't have to be negative, but I would say to you is just be mindful of that. And again, I'll share a bit more about that next time. But let's move into that subject that I want to talk about, very Aries driven. And just before I go there, one more thing I want to say is that when we have this eclipse, it is lined up with the North Node, which is where we're going. So it's very positive. It's not taking us back into the past, but it is asking us to review our relationships from the past and decide what are we ready to let go of. And it may not be the relationship. It may be actually the story around the relationship. So that's part of what I would want to say. But along with the sun and the moon, and the North Node all being in Aries on that day of the solar eclipse on the 8th, we also have Chiron. And Chiron is the wounded healer, as you know. So it's also asking us, where am I wounded in my ability to not just be the adventurer, but also stand in my own power or be strong within myself? And this is really, I hope, we'll find healing in the desire to go to wars, because Aries is also about wars. I'm hoping that we may develop a greater common sense that wars have never solved a problem, and that it is only when we can find ways to find harmony in diversity that we will find that peace. So I think this is a time of hope, something we move forward with a new idea, but it has to come from a healing that is now saying, I no longer wish to carry my wound into my future. So it's a really good time to look at where I've been wounded and what do I want to heal now. And that does bring me on to today's subject. I have met a lot of people in my life, and a number of them recently, who had to become their own warrior in their lives as children. This is not an uncommon situation. I was very fortunate, I want to say up front, to have both a very strong mother and father who would have fought for us as children. My mother was like a great bear. I'm sure even though she was only 5 foot tall, she intimidated those who thought they could take advantage of their children, her children. And my father was an Aries, and he would step up for any of us. So this is why I use this title, who would step up for you? Who would fight for you? And I've met so many people who have nobody. Nobody was there, even as a child. The parents were either absent, sometimes physically absent, or absent due to alcohol or to drugs or to narcissism or to their own problems, but nobody ever stood up for them. And there wasn't maybe an aunt or uncle or grandparent or even sibling that would stand up for them. And I find that so sad, because when I meet these individuals, here they are, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, and they're still their own warrior. They have become so independent and they don't trust love. Why would they? Because to take off that armor that they developed is very risky. So here we find the person who is more likely to say, when you ask, can I help you? I'm fine, I'm okay, I'll do it myself. And more likely to go to war or fight for someone else. And this is part of those reflective personalities where when we haven't been fought for, we become the fighter for someone else, hoping that one day something will change. And this is always very important to look at is in our jobs, you know, here I am as a in the caring professions, where do I need healing? Where do I need help? If I work with those who are abused, where have I been abused? If I help with those who are homeless, where am I homeless? It doesn't have to be physical, it can be metaphorical. So here I'm saying, if you're fighting for others, who's fighting for you? Why are you needing to fight for yourself all the time? Why are you needing to wear armor? And the answer often, unfortunately, comes from childhood. So again, I say, who fought for you? Who stood up for you? And there would have always been situations in your family. You know, we all have situations in our family where, you know, you might have been told off by one parent. It wasn't that you wanted the other parent to be just nice and friendly to you, but you wanted to make sure that if it wasn't being fair, if what you'd done wasn't fair, that that other parent would step up and say, no, that's too much, too much. Now, there were times where your parents both agreed that what you did wasn't okay. But the fact of the matter is, in abusive situations, you often are asking, does the other parent or does someone else recognize that what you're going through? And will they stand up for you? Will they fight for you? You don't need someone who says, I'm backing off and just, you know, let everything calm down. It's not what we need. We need someone who will stand by us. And I remember listening to the Jungian psychologist, Marion Woodman, who I greatly admired. And she said about women's particularly, but it applies to men as well. She said, it's not that you have a weak feminine. You just lack a sacred warrior masculine. And I think that's so true. And that masculine doesn't have to be, as I say, a man. It can be like my mother. But who is your sacred warrior? Who would go to war for you? And I'm being very Aryan in this way. Who would fight for you? Who would stand in front of you? And I find it so sad when I find people who have nobody. And I have had to hold myself back from saying, okay, we're going, I'm going to go and, you know, fight that person for you. And believe me, I have no Aries energy at all. I have very little fire in me. But when I see people hurting, I will step up. And sometimes it isn't the right thing to do. Maybe I need to step back. And I've had to learn that in all the decades I've met people around the world who have been abused physically, sexually, emotionally. I've had to learn to not jump in. I've had to learn to hold that energy. But I've always made it clear that I will stand by you in this. And that's what we need. We don't need someone who's going to agree or disagree with us. In other words, this isn't about taking sides. This is just taking being by the side. And I think this is the real meaning of compassion, with passion. It's actually saying, I will stand by you. If necessary, I'll fight for you. But I'll also encourage you to find that inner core that is strong and true and to love yourself at that level. Because that's what happens. When the armor goes on, it's almost like we move away from our center. The core of our being becomes diminished. And we can get sick in those ways. I see it in, for instance, psoriasis, where there's often a thickening of the skin on the outer joint areas, in other words, on an elbow, whereas eczema is usually in the crease of a joint. So we put hard skin on, sometimes on our head, but sometimes on our joints. Or someone who's got polycystic ovaries. We hardly ever saw polycystic ovaries when I was a young gynecologist. Now it's so rampant. And we could blame lots of things, but what it is you're almost putting a sheath over your ovaries, or over the eggs, I should say, and over the ovaries, and almost preventing those eggs being released, because those eggs are your dreams, your creativity, but you're also trying to protect your eggs, the vulnerable nature of your eggs. And so, you know, I often see that these young ladies or these people who are polycystic, they have a story of not being protected when they were young, or some event happening in their early teenage years where not only did they have a parent who may have left and nobody there to fight for them or be there for them, or someone who was so busy they couldn't be there, but they also often take on the role of parenting their parents. And that then means, okay, I really have to protect my vulnerability because I've got to take the care of them and myself. So I haven't got time to be looking after me. Any other illness that becomes solid, like a stone or fibroid, anything that's solid, it's like protecting, protecting, protecting. And then something eventually breaks out. It's almost like your body says, enough! And sometimes we do develop a cancer, or we develop an inflammation or something where the body says, I can't contain this any longer. I have to find some release. And so we often also see it in the chakras. And I just go through those again. The three protective chakras are the masculine chakras, the base, solar plexus, throat chakra. So the base chakra is very much about fitting in, following the rules. But it is when it's under stress, because nobody's been there to protect you. We say it has very poor ancestral chi. There's been no security in your life. People come from a place of fear rather than a place of joy and strength. Then you have poor ancestral chi. You weren't passed on strong energy. So your kidneys, your adrenal glands are constantly stressed to make sure you're safe. You live in this sort of fight and flight response. You're a survivor rather than a thriver. And then you go to the solar plexus, you say, okay, if nobody's there for me to protect me, I gotta be really alert. So I'm gonna use my solar plexus as this great satellite dish. It's gonna read everybody's energy, and I'm gonna pick up on everybody's psychic energy, emotional energy, and that will keep me safe. But that's exhausting. And at the same time, you're having to say, and I have to keep all my emotions in because I cannot be vulnerable. So we see problems in the pancreas. We see some problems in the stomach. We see problems really just with someone who is hyper alert, like a big sponge picking up all the energy until you don't know whose energy is who. Many people call that being empathic. I think that's a risk. And I often saw those who were hypersensitive at the solar plexus, very psychic, came from families where they had to be over psychic, very psychic, in order to stay safe because of alcoholism, addiction, absentee, partner, craziness, whatever in the family. Crazy or something that is dysfunctional, it's very challenging to live with. And then we go up to the throat chakra. You say, okay, my emotions are overwhelming. Let's go to the throat chakra. Okay, this is our mental body state. I'll protect myself. I'll keep thinking. As long as I'm thinking, as long as I can work things out, as long as I have a solution with my mind, that's exhausting. So someone who's always thinking is causing, again, a different type of armor around themselves. So what are the opposites? The opposites are rooting into Mother Earth. That's our first feminine. And what does that mean is, well, if you had a bad relationship with Mother Earth, your own mother, you'll have difficulty rooting because you don't trust Mother Earth then either. You don't trust her love. So if your mother either wasn't there or literally was trying to possess your energy, you will have difficulty actually trusting nesting into someone or nesting into something, which I include Mother Earth. So learning just how to send roots into Mother Earth in a very gentle way, walking on the ground, being with nature, knowing that she's okay, she's safe, really important. sacral chakra, again, a sort of nesting. Who do you nest into? Yes, it could be your pet, it could be your bath, it could be your bed. But who do you trust? That's that true love I'm talking about. Who do you trust? Who do you trust with yourself, with your secrets? They're not going to judge you, or they're not going to move away from you because you're having an emotion. What is it you need someone to trust? Your emotions? Your secrets? What is it that you are fearful of letting someone know about you or see inside you? And then the heart, obviously, the heart is another, the feminine chakras nesting into that. What do you trust? And I hear people, and I'll link this to the crown chakra as well, the other feminine, is people say, oh, well, I trust Jesus, I trust God, I trust my guru, I trust this. But when push comes to shove, there's a judgment or there's conditions you have for that. So whoever it is that you might believe in a spiritual way, do you trust that they love you unconditionally? And do you trust that when things happen to you, it's not because you've done something wrong? It is a love. And it relates to what I was talking about last time, where sometimes we become out of alignment to the greater picture in which we are part of. In other words, it's not just our little life, it's also the life of a higher self, our oversoul, you know, the universal love. So sometimes things happen to just help us to realign. It's not because we've done something wrong. So do you believe that Jesus, God, loves you unconditionally? And then, of course, the deepest one is, do you trust yourself? Do you love yourself enough? Not love yourself in like, oh, I'm going to be protective, because that's what we're trying to move against. If I love myself enough, I can let others in. If I can't let others in, I'm going to say, we don't have a strong inner core. We don't trust ourselves. Those who let other people in to help them are doing so because they know that there is that inner core already there. So I'm going to just leave you with those thoughts. I hope I'm bringing some ideas in practical terms. Check out who will fight for you. Might be a friend. And if you feel there's nobody there, is this that you've surrounded yourself with people who can't be there for you? And therefore you need to change the types of relationships you've had? Or have you never asked? Or have you have fear of letting anybody in? And you can do it in small ways. You don't have to go into war. You can just ask people to help you in small ways. And you will be amazed how many people are going to feel so grateful that they can help you. It doesn't make you diminished. It makes you stronger. And then to go through those chakras and ask yourself where you're uptight, holding on, and allow those feminine chakras to allow you to nest into something, to relax, to find peace in that true love that is available to all of us. Until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the HeartSpeak Podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Please check out all HeartSpeak episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. HeartSpeak is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Tumblr, and now playing on Amazon Music and iHeartRadio. You can also watch the archive podcast on Christine's channel on YouTube and now on Rumble. Connect with Christine on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook group, The Great Mother Calling. Do share with family, friends, colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of HeartSpeak.